If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. You can find Dana a lot of places. DanaRadio.com, D-Lash, or Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, all kinds of places. Rumble, YouTube, all over the place. All right, let's get to some stories today that are out there in the world. One of the biggest ones is a debate as to whether or not we did something horrible by sending someone that illegally came into our country back to El Salvador, even though he did have the legal right to stay here because of a court ruling in 2019. The man's name is Kilmar Abrego Garcia. Here's the linchpin to all this. And I guess the thing that people are going to debate or argue about the most. Is he a member of MS-13? The Trump administration says absolutely he is. They actually say specifically, if you haven't heard all of this story, which I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people haven't heard all of the details, that an informant told them that much, that there's an informant that the administration has, or at least that our government has, that said several individuals were part of MS-13 in Long Island, and that this individual was actually the head of that group. That's part of the reason, or maybe the entirety of the reason, that his home is raided and that he's arrested. Now, what should have happened, and actually the Trump administration admits this themselves, he should not have been deported. He should be in jail here in the United States, at least for now, as far as our legal system goes, while some other things are figured out. But he's there, and he's in prison, and he may not be coming back anytime soon. But I think what really matters at the heart of this discussion, not the legal ease aspects of should this person be here or there or what's going on, but the thing that a lot of media is ignoring in what makes this a complicated topic to talk about is the guy a gangster? Is he a criminal? And I don't mean because he's from El Salvador or anything that you can tie me to, like, oh, he's a racist because he said it this way. No, I mean it because that's what the government actually thinks was going on when they first chose to go after him. Is that true or not? Is something I feel like we should get to as far as answers go before any of this other stuff. But that's what we're debating right now. The Supreme Court did decide in a 5-4 ruling yesterday that we do not need to force El Salvador, not that we could even do that if we wanted to give him back to us by, I think it was today. There will be more time to figure this out. And since he's now in jail in El Salvador, the only way to get him back would be to trade some sort of individual for him, essentially give another country someone they want that we have in jail, so we can get someone that is in jail that we supposedly want, even though he might just wind up in jail here. It's a valuable question. And of course, if the man is wrongly accused of certain things, I think it changes the dynamic of the conversation a lot. But if he's not, if he is guilty of the things that we believe him to potentially be guilty of, the alleged connection to MS-13, then I wonder if mainstream media would care about this as much or talk about it as much or be as, you know, up in arms about the horribleness of it. But anyway, beyond that story, which is a big deal and out there in the world, there's also the discussion of tariffs. And there's a few ways to take this. We are going to have a guest on in about an hour or so, EJ Antoni from the Heritage Foundation. He's going to dive deeper into the stuff I don't know as well as he does for sure in what's going on with tariffs. But before I even play audio, I want to make this very simple. Or at least attempt to make it very simple for anyone out there listening. If the goal of the tariffs, which is what Trump has said they are, is to eventually get better trade deals with all of the countries in the world, more or less, that's what it feels like we're trying to do. And if that actually happens, and if it happens quickly, meaning that a lot of these tariffs get, you know, shrunk or totally go away within the next month or two, would we sit as the United States and consider it a victory then? Right now, people are up in arms and they're terrified. And actually, you probably remember this from last week and the fact that it definitely didn't come true yesterday. We had Jim Cramer out there essentially saying that we were going to have a Black Monday crash in our stock market, something that didn't happen. And as of today, the stock market is actually rebounding quite nicely. on the belief that these tariffs are not going to be long term, that they're going to be short term and a negotiation, creating mechanism more so than anything else. But here's a little bit of what Cramer said last week, just to remind you.
Try to reach out and reward these countries and companies that play by the rules in the 1987 scenario, the one where we went down 3 days and then down 22% on Monday, has the most cogency. We will not have to wait out too long. We'll know by Monday. Fortunately, we had an excellent set of employment numbers today. At least it makes it less likely a crash will necessarily lead to a recession. But if President Trump stays intransigent and does nothing to ameliorate the damage that I saw these last 2 days,
he did that. He did nothing.
I'm not going to be constructive here. I will contain my anger, but only because I lived through 87.
Yeah.
In the end, I came out okay. I was in cash for the crash. I know what this feels like. Oh, and if Europe moves against our fabulous tech companies next week, then I will be furious. That I promise you, because it should not happen.
Cramer will be furious. Again, he predicted Black Monday last week. It did not happen yesterday, for anyone unaware. And the stock market definitely was volatile yesterday. I won't pretend that didn't exist. But the truth of all of this, again, and it's not just necessarily that, say, we have a trade deficit because of this one reason or that one reason. There are a myriad of things, at least I'm told, a myriad of things that cause us to have a, say, negative ability to sell our product in certain countries to the degree that we then also buy stuff from other places. That's a very layman's way of saying it. But this is true. There's a lot of restrictions, red tape, taxes, and other things that play into it beyond just simple tariffs or even, you know, lack of incentives for businesses from the United States to do business other places. And Trump would like to see a lot of that go away, as would a lot of, I think, business leaders here in the United States. Do they want it to happen this way? No. A lot of people say that they didn't want to see the tariffs play out the way that they're playing out, at least in the short term. But I do have a simple question for any individual that believes that. How do you go about actually getting done what Trump wants to get done? How do you get people like Benjamin Netanyahu to say into a microphone that Israel is going to be at the forefront of changing any sort of restrictions, red tape, tariffs, etc., on the United States so that they have an equal playing field when it comes to trade and actually even encouraging other countries to do the same? This is something that Netanyahu said recently after this meeting yesterday, in which Trump demonstrated he's not going to play favorites, even with Israel, someone that all the time we're told that Trump is in, you know, the pocket of Benjamin Netanyahu or in the pocket of Israel. He said in response to a question, I'll go ahead and play it, that those 17% tariffs are staying for now unless some negotiating happens and a better trade deal occurs between us and between Israel.
Do you plan to reduce the tariffs that your government put on Israeli goods, 17%?
On Israeli goods, the 17%. Do you plan
talking about a whole new trade. Maybe not. Maybe not. Don't forget, we help Israel a lot. You know, we give Israel $4 billion a year. That's a lot. Congratulations, by the way. That's pretty good. But we get
Trump turned to Benjamin Netanyahu and said, congratulations, by the way. I can't get over some of those moments.
Give Israel billions of dollars a year. Billions. It's one of the highest of, and we give a lot of countries money. You wouldn't believe if I said we give Afghanistan a lot of money, didn't it? Because that was a Biden deal, another Biden deal. Not only did he embarrass us with that, but they give them billions of dollars, Afghanistan, right? So, but no, we take good care of our friends and we don't take care of our enemies. We're not taking care of our enemies anymore. But
here's the thing, and I'll say it again plainly because I think it matters to be said that way. Sometimes when, well, I guess a lot of the time when Trump acts, many people, when President Trump acts, many people in mainstream media or liberal-leaning places want to describe it as reckless. They want to describe it as, you know, completely unintelligent. Saturday Night Live, over the weekend, when they were making fun of the tariffs, had several jokes about how it made absolutely no sense why certain percentages were certain places. And I don't want to dive into the minutia of trying to convince to you that it did make mathematical sense. That's unimportant. What I think is more interesting is debating that ideology and the amount of people who believe it, that Trump is just simply reckless and crazy and does things with, you know, no real thought going into it and not really sure what the impact will be. And here's the other thing I'll say. If other countries believe that same narrative, the one that the left uses to demonize Trump or demonize conservatives who would like to see better trade deals exist in our country. If other countries believe that, good, is what I would say. Good. Because when you're dealing with a madman, again, not that I think that that's true of President Trump necessarily, but you behave differently. And if you've seen news today, all morning, in fact, reported many places, maybe not all the places it should be, but a lot of places, several countries are lining up to make trade deals with the United States in order to, prevent or at least mitigate the amount of tariffs that are coming their way because of what Trump said. Tons and tons of countries, even, countries that we think are our allies or people that we were told there was no reason to have tariffs against them, like the EU, are coming forward and saying, all right, we're ready to sit down, we're ready to make a deal. I think the EU specifically said that industrial tariffs are going to be a net zero, a zero for zero move, if we can get there on both sides. There's many other places, India, Taiwan, Zimbabwe, so many countries are coming forward and saying, hey, I think Japan even said it yesterday too, that we would like to see an end to this quickly. And we have been, more or less, they're admitting, taking advantage of the United States for quite some time in our trade deals. All of this happens because someone takes action, and the person who's taking action is actually feared for whatever reason, whether they think he's reckless or, smartest guy in the room, feared by all of the places that want this stuff to go away. When you have a paper tiger in the office of president like Biden, you have invasions. You have all kinds of things that happen that are terrible, not just for us in this country, but for the world. When you have someone that people are unsure of how strong he'll react, then different things occur. And this is actually true even of some of the bad actors as far as the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. You have leaders of places like Hezbollah coming out and saying that, hey, maybe we're going to lay down our arms and not try to have a proxy war with the United States right now because Trump is in charge. That's also real. That's also out there. Whether it materializes or not, I'm not sure. But it's something that's interesting. And it's something that demonstrates a need for strength to exist and the lack of strength, the belief that someone would fold if pressure is, applied back to them is the thing that puts us at our weakest position as a country in the world and as a place that wants to keep the U.S. dollar as the, most important currency in the world, something a lot of other places like China would like to see go away. All right, we'll take a break on that. A lot to get to today, like I said, though. Big stories out there. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. Patriot Mobile wants to save you money, and they don't want to make your money work against you. See, if you have not switched, you're funding all the stuff that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box. With Patriot Mobile, you get exceptional nationwide coverage, access to all three major U.S. networks. You also can add two numbers on two networks on one phone. Now, the big carriers can't do this, but Patriot Mobile can. They also have flexible, unlimited data plans designed to fit your lifestyle. All kinds of stuff. Mobile hotspots, high-speed data, international roaming, device protection, internet backup, the whole nine yards. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. It is up to you. Seamless switching with their U.S.-based customer support team. You can get activated in minutes, and you're supporting what you believe in. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT, promo code Dana.
Democrats now insist they have a huge momentum shift after those special elections turned out pretty much like we thought they would. President Trump has the audacity to claim he should be able to decide who works for him. And Trump makes the media look like Wile E. Coyote again over comments about a third term. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. This is the Dana Show. Time for a quick five. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. AI has proven that fingerprints are not unique. This might upend a whole lot of stuff within our society, unless AI is mistaken, which apparently it has been before. But Earth.com was one of the places that put out this story. I don't know why I like that I found it there. Our fingerprint analysis has been a dependable tool in crime solving for more than a century. But AI claims that we could get this wrong. And get this wrong far more often than we thought we could so far. This is something that's going to take a lot more digesting for us to figure out if it's actually, in fact, accurate, as I said. But there is bias. There's next steps that are all suggested by AI. And again, it's right now just a story on Earth.com. I haven't seen it covered a lot of other places. So maybe by another week, AI will tell us that fingerprints are incredibly unique. We'll see there. But that at least is interesting to mention. Another story that I thought was funny. San Francisco asked people in a community to name a park that people in that community don't seem to want. So the names were hilarious, or at least the names that were most voted as likely to be the name of the park. Whether it was Parky McParkface, which was just stupid, or this is stupid, let's not do this. Someone who wrote in that the reason they want to name it this is because they don't want a park in that area. Really stupid park. Another one. No one who lives here has voted for this park is yet another name that jumped to the top of the list. That's awesome. Never ask the internet to do stuff or they'll do stuff terribly is a lesson we've learned again and again. Also a big story from yesterday. The NCAA championship game happened last night between Houston and Florida. And somehow, the last two possessions of the game, at least for Houston, they didn't even get a shot off. This is what it sounded like at the end of that game. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me make sure you can actually hear this, because I can hear it, but I don't think you can hear it yet. So let's get it back here. And then here we go.
Seconds short. He walked. He can't touch it. He can't. 1 second.
There's a fake shot, and then the ball was thrown to the ground, and the player who took the fake shot then couldn't touch it. Just really stupid. What I thought was interesting, too, was head coach Kelvin Sampson of Houston saying, how could we not get a shot off in the post-game interview? Here's part of that.
Yeah, I'm just going through those last two possessions more than anything else. It's incomprehensible in that situation. We couldn't get a shot. Gotta get a shot.
Yeah, that'd be the basics of trying to win a basketball game. You've got to shoot the ball at some point. And two possessions in a row at the end of the game, after leading for almost the entire game, Houston couldn't even fire anything up. So that was bad. And certainly feel bad for them today. Florida, your national champions. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Spring is here, and it's the perfect time to refresh your yard with Fast Growing Trees, the largest online nursery in the U.S. with thousands of plants, from fruit trees to privacy hedges tailored to your climate. They make landscaping easy. And plus, their Alive and Thrive guarantee ensures that your plants arrive healthy and ready to grow. I love how hassle-free the process is. You don't have to get your car dirty. You don't have to go to the nursery and have limited options and lug everything around. With fast-growing trees, you can save 90% by planting yourself, and your trees arrive thriving. There's no heavy lifting. You don't have messy car rides. So if you're ready to transform your space, as I am, now's the time. With fast shipping, expert support, and top quality plants, Fast Growing Trees makes it super easy. Get up to 50% off select plants at fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana. Plus, use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off of your first purchase. Visit fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana and use code Dana. Offer valid for a limited time. Terms apply.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff out there today to cover. The Dana Show can be found all kinds of places. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, two of the best ways to stay connected to her on X, on Twitter. For all things Dana Lash. Let's start here. I thought it was pretty interesting that yesterday the New York Times put out an article crapping all over Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his, you know, state-by-state tour, in which I think he's going to be talking about a desire to ban fluoride in our drinking water. The reason this is so interesting, and the New York Times describes it as one of the most important health practices in the country's history, is the New York Times just a short time ago, just a few months ago, or maybe this was a few years ago, put out a story about how high fluoride exposure in drinking water is linked to lower IQ in children. Their own article about how maybe we need to, you know, be more cautious. This is something that's going viral online now, both articles together, because it doesn't matter what the truth is. It matters who's in charge. And then depending on who's in charge, places like the New York Times, the failing New York Times, if I want to quote President Trump, those individuals will tell you this is horrible or this is great just because they like or don't like him, not because they actually want to tell you the truth about what's going on. That's horrible and terrible. And you've seen this. You knew about this. I'm not telling you anything groundbreakingly new. It's just funny to see those two standing next to each other. What's also pretty humorous is this audio of Trump with the Dodgers, the World Series champion Dodgers, which hurts me as a Yankee fan to say out loud, making a joke and having a lot of the team kind of laugh with him, and then having coverage of this essentially either be non-existent or say that Trump made a horrible political joke during a moment that was supposed to be void of politics because it's a sports team there to, you know, be given some sort of recognition from the president. There was a rumor that the Dodgers wouldn't even go to the White House, and then they did. But here's the joke, just so you know what I'm talking about.
Congratulations, Brian. And others, we have a couple of senators here. I just don't particularly like them, so I won't introduce. Over the course of this amazing season, the members of this team...
He whispers back to the team, they know who they are, by the way, which is making players laugh even more.
I didn't think it was that big a deal, actually. It's Washington. Over the course of the...
You know, here's the thing. He even says it's Washington, so we're going to crap on each other here. What I love about this, and you don't have to love Trump to love these moments, is that the levity in that situation should be easily seen by everyone. By people who don't like the current president and people who love him quite a bit. But it can't be because media, again, can't tell you the truth. They have to tell you the negative version of whatever they're seeing because of who's in charge. There's one more demonstration of this from yesterday that I think is probably the most profoundly ridiculous of all the things I might play. But this is a talking head on MSNBC saying that the biggest reason that we're, I guess, you know, down the tubes here as a country, which a lot of us don't actually agree with, is because we were racist or we are racist or something to that effect. Here we go. Here's the point made by Eddie Gloud. And I do think it's ridiculous. And I don't even care if I got his last name wrong. I don't care. Here we go.
We chose a felon who is more interested in loyalty, who's more interested in retribution, who's more interested in grift than in democracy. And we chose a felon because we didn't want to elect a black woman. So to read that, to actually explicate that, is to say we would rather destroy the republic.
There's a few ways to argue this. I was thinking about this too when I heard this audio for the first time yesterday of like how I would discuss how stupid it is on this very show, filling in for Dana Loesch. And the first thing I will say, and I'm not saying that I believe this actually would have happened, you know, that Trump wouldn't have beaten the person, but people believed that the best candidate for the Democratic Party was definitely not Biden and was definitely not Harris, but it was actually a black woman, Michelle Obama, who did not want to run. That's what a lot of people believed. That's what a lot of Democrats, that's who a lot of Democrats said they would have voted for. It is interesting to hear someone on television completely ignore that idea to accuse America of being racist because it would refuse to elect a black woman, even though it elected a black man twice. So again, I get confused in these moments because the real reason that people didn't elect Kamala Harris and people chose to elect Trump, at least one of them, there are several, is that Harris was a terrible candidate who said things that made no sense, who spoke in these crazy, what I think I called them at the time, you know, drunken fortune cookie ways of speaking. Again, not a person who deserved to be elected to the office of president, and someone who was even thrown in there at the last minute, I think sort of by her own design. She wanted to usurp the former president and take his nomination from him. But partly because we also were lied to for a while of how terrible Biden's mind was. A lot of conservatives saw it. A lot of people in conservative media saw it. But the rest of media pretended that Biden was fine right up to the very end there. So there are so many reasons why Harris didn't win. None of them are racism. But it seems that people have to see a racism in order to make a point in our society. Jasmine Crockett, another example of this. Talking, I think, just the other day, the congressperson in front of a crowd at a Baptist church about how we are not going to be the ones doing farm work and that we have to have illegal people here in this country to do the farm work for us. This is her narrative, not mine per se. Here, I'll play a little bit of the audio.
So I had to go around the country and educate people about what immigrants do for this country or the fact that we are a country of immigrants.
Right, right.
The fact is, ain't none of y'all trying to go and farm right now. Okay, so I'm lying. Raise your hands.
She's looking very mad at the crowd.
You're not. You're not. We done picking cotton.
So a few things. There's a lot of ways to argue this, too, if you want to play ball or just say that she's being an idiot publicly. One of them is that cotton isn't picked by anyone. In 2025, we have machines that do that. So no one actually does that. I know she's just making a joke, but I just figured I'd throw it out there in case it helps her make a different joke in the future. A weird joke at that. Also, there is a visa program, the H-2A visa program, that allows people to temporarily have status here in the United States to work specifically on farms. The U.S. agricultural industry has quite a few people who do this. So again, there's actually a program to allow you to have legal status, which then also means you'd get a livable wage. The company has to prove that it can't hire Americans to do the job, that no one wants the gig, et cetera, et cetera. But again, there is a way around that. And then finally, the other thing that's so ridiculous about this that I can't get over, this one every time that Democrats say it, is essentially they're the party of exploiting people. They don't want to be, or I don't think that they're trying to put that at the forefront of their message, but it's simply true. If you're yelling out loud that people have to be here in this country illegally in order to do the work that none of us want to do at the wages that none of us want to take to do that work, then you're begging for them to be taken advantage of and seeming as though that's an okay position to be had. And in the world of the woke, you would think that that would be the worst thing ever. You would think that it'd be odd for conservatives, to be the ones pointing that out, that you're begging for more people to be taken advantage of and get paid horrible sums of money to do important things in our society, and you're doing it proudly. I do think most Americans still agree, and I think most surveys back this up right now, that we want to change the way that immigration in our country works. We don't want to have as many people here illegally. This is something that most Americans agree with. And even more so, people are saying the way we go about it is one that they support. They're happy with the decision-making of the current administration to actually have a war against a lot of this stuff. Now, there's one more piece of audio that is also making the rounds. And this is, I guess, a segment about race unintentionally. As a white dude that's on the radio with you today, filling in for Dana, I don't necessarily want to dive into race, not because I'm afraid of it, but because it's not on my mind 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's just not a thing I think about as much as some other people seem to be thinking about this. And I'm sure they'd call that white privilege, that I don't even think about race as much as others do. But there's some horrific things that happen in our society that are couched in this idea that, well, for some reason, this white person has to be racist or horrible, so whatever happened is okay. This is a viral rant. I think millions of people have seen this now. Some woman, she's a black woman. I don't know if you needed that information, but I'm going to put it out there because it is there. That's saying that Austin Metcalf deserved what he got. Austin Metcalf is the young man who was stabbed and killed at a high school sporting event. He's a white man. He was killed by a black student a black man at this event, both of them, you know, high school aged. And it's a horrible, horrible story. There was some sort of conflict that existed, and one person chose to turn that conflict into something with deadly force. And people are actually in support of the person who killed this guy, who killed Austin Metcalf, because they believe that racism played a larger role in this scenario than it did, or they have any proof whatsoever to show that it did, not that it would even matter because one person wasn't trying to kill someone else and the other person used deadly force against them. This is inherently wrong in our society. We should all see this. It doesn't matter what the people look like. It doesn't matter what, you know, race this individual or that individual is. It matters if someone takes what could be a small conflict and turns it into, you know, the death of an individual. That should have a resounding rejection in our society, and somehow it doesn't.
Y'all not gonna make me believe or feel any kind of sympathy for Austin Metcalf at all. He put his hands on that young man when he should have kept them hands to himself. When the young man told him, touch me and see, you better not touch me, that meant that I don't want you in my space. I don't want you touching me.
You can't kill somebody for this. You can't just take someone's life who said, you're not in the place you need to be in, I've got to move you out of here, or whatever version you want it to be, and then physically confront someone. It can't immediately go to murder. You actually have to be in a grave danger state yourself in order to do that. You can't just say out loud, if you touch me, I'm going to kill you, and then do that and have that make you innocent of the crime. A little more.
Rosa Parks days is over. You cannot think that you can move somebody out of a seat that you don't own and think that it's going to be okay. And you can't determine how I'm going to retaliate on you when you put your hands on me in an aggressive manner.
Yes, you can determine how you retaliate on me. It's called law. It's how we actually determine everything in our society. By that simple way of thinking, I could do whatever I want. Say I didn't like that speeding tickets exist. And I said out loud in my car, hey, I'm going to speed now. I'm not allowed to then go speeding down the highway and cause an accident. That's not something I'm allowed to do because I announced it first. That's not how this stuff works. I'm trying to find levity in a moment that I find uniquely horrific. And I think it's one because a lot of individuals in our society, and I don't mean individuals who look any certain way, before you attack me for being racist and saying this, but have race or have sex or have something at the forefront of their mind going into an interaction before anything happens, before you judge a person based on their character or the things they say or the way they behave, in your brain, you're thinking about how this white person or this, you know, man or this whoever can't possibly be a good person. So whenever they say or do something that I don't like, well, now it's because they're a horrible, terrible person. And that's awful. In our society, it's very easy for us to determine that it's wrong, and yet it exists. And there's tons of videos like this out there of people advocating for a murderer because he got in a fight with a white kid that they're deciding somehow was racist and bad without any details or ability to understand that. We need to rethink that in society, I guess, is the whole point of the end part of this discussion. And also everything that Jasmine Crockett said about how we need to just take advantage of people. That's also insane. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
As we move, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends at All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy has all of the medications that you need without anything being manufactured at all or sourced from China. Or even India. It's all right here made in the USA, which I think is incredibly important, especially if we're talking about becoming more self-sufficient with things like antibiotics, etc., because that's what All Family Pharmacy does. You don't have to play by Big Pharma's rules. Remember when they tried to shut down actual therapeutics and access to those therapeutics? Remember when they tried to bar you from getting ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and that you were being told that you were crazy if you had those? Yeah, but hey, take this injection. We don't know what it does, but go ahead and take it. They didn't just dismiss the alternatives. They crushed your ability to get them. All Family Pharmacy is about access and affordability. It's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. Straightforward pricing. online ordering. You can get your meds in just 2 to 4 days, or if you need them in a pinch, overnight. Your health is always within reach. I've used them many times before. You can also get your everyday maintenance medications too. They make it super simple, fast shipping, no gatekeepers, and again, made right here in the US of A. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off using promo code Dana10. Protect yourself and your family today at allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in for the day. Thrilled to be with you. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. A great way to stay connected to her. Minecraft, the movie, crushed the box office. $150 million plus dollars. Brought in, I think, just domestically, a whole bunch of other 162, I think, is actually the updated number now. Over 100 million, internationally. The movie's doing amazing. Apparently, mostly with young people who play this video game. I didn't go see Minecraft. And one moment in the movie is causing people to be absolute morons, where they scream and yell and throw stuff at the screen. Jack Black says a phrase, chicken jockey. I'll go ahead and play it. And then the theater goes nuts. That's the nuts of the theater. Here, wait, let's get back to the beginning. Here's the thing. A lot of people are even defending this, saying that the kids are excited and that the, you know, emotions of seeing their favorite video game and a bunch of memes or like the words in a meme up on the screen is something that's making them go crazy. Don't do this. That's my version of a reaction to this. This is beyond dumb. To throw stuff and have cops involved and escorting people out of theaters. But it is interesting to see the gigantic success of the Minecraft movie and then compare that to the tremendous failure of the Snow White movie, one that would have been, I assume, widely popular if it didn't have a horrible person at the start, at the head of the movie, crapping on the idea of the movie itself, and then a whole bunch of other like woke issues throughout. Minecraft ignored all that. There's no wokeness from what I've seen in a movie just about a video game. So you can succeed in our society, and you can succeed on both sides of the aisle if you don't inject politics into something that we want to escape when we go to a movie theater in the first place. We want to get rid of all that stuff in our society. Apparently, this is a good lesson on a couple in a couple ways, but also a good moment to tell young kids to not be morons and do crazy stuff. All right, we'll get to other things in just a little bit, including the amount of unread emails you have and unopened texts you have on your phone. It is spring digital cleaning here. I'll tell you more about that in a bit. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Bernagun, B-Y-R-N-A, is the non-firearm firearm, and it's a great way to help diversify your defense array, your weapons array. And it's it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And there's no waiting period. There's no gun freeze. It doesn't care about gun free zone signs. It doesn't care about any of that stuff. And it's an effective deterrent because, like I said, you're able to still protect yourself. I get it that I always carry and I have no problem using lethal force. And I don't live in an area that tells me I can't carry or has a bunch of buildings that tell me I can't go in and can't carry. But I do have friends who live in places like this, and this has been a godsend for them because they can still protect themselves. Of course, you know, it's still a high crime area. Really is these where they have the strongest gun laws, and this is where Byrna Law comes into play. So they're able to defend themselves without violating any of those municipal restrictions. And like I said, no waiting period, no background check. They ship it right to your front door. The Byrna SD, that's the best-selling model. They have others, but that's the one everybody I know has been getting. And you can choose your color, your projectiles, accessories, everything. When you go through Byrna.com/Dana, you can get 10% off your purchase. BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff to talk about. D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio. Great ways to stay connected to her on X, on Twitter. One of the biggest discussions over the last 24 hours, maybe more in the world of media and, you know, Washington than I think people across their kitchen table, is the deportation of a man, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, to El Salvador. He's in prison in El Salvador now. That even the Trump administration is saying was a clerical error. It shouldn't have happened exactly the way it did. But nonetheless, the thing that's being lost by a lot of the places that are saying how horrible and terrible and how everyone in and anyone is now going to be potentially subject to being sent out of the country is that the person is an alleged member of MS-13, a notorious gang created actually by people from El Salvador in the United States that then branched out to other parts of Central America. But he's supposedly, or at least, you know, potentially the leader of the Long Island branch of MS-13. If that winds up being true, I don't think we'll miss him all that much, that he's not in this country anymore. That's something that people seem reluctant to add into the story, the reason he was arrested in the first place. And if the United States is, you know, suspicious of this, they'd have him in jail here instead of in jail there, which means that he wouldn't be at home with his family, which is what a lot of people, I think, in certain places want the narrative to be. That we took a completely innocent man out of bed at night from his family, sent him to a prison in El Salvador, and he's there and he shouldn't be in any trouble whatsoever. That narrative is not true, or at least appears most likely to not be true. But here's a little bit of how Joe Scarborough and others claim that this is horrible and terrible and about to happen to everyone. Hold on one second. Here we go.
Grabbing people off the street, sending.
Let's actually play that again for you so you actually hear it.
When you look at some of these extreme instances of grabbing people in the middle of the night, grabbing people off the street, sending them down to El Salvador, I think Ed brings up a great point. It's almost like the administration wants these images out there and wants the reaction from Democrats and wants the reaction from the courts and wants the reaction from the media, because it does compensate for lower numbers.
And he goes on to say that the amount of people being deported is part of those lower numbers. There's a point that Scarborough is accidentally making that I actually agree with, and he's definitely describing the person the way I said that a lot of left-leaning media will describe him, as someone just snatched off the street in the middle of the night and sent to prison in El Salvador for no reason whatsoever, which, again, not true. The person illegally entered our country in the early 2010s. I was then granted, I think, in 2019, the ability to stay, because they would likely be persecuted in El Salvador. Whether or not that's for crimes that they actually committed is something that's not necessarily agreed upon, I think, by experts out there. But now, suspicious of being a leader of MS-13, at least that's why we raid his home and then deport him again in 2025. Someone who's not legally in our country, at least wasn't legally in our country for a long time before getting essentially a stay by a court system in 2019. All of that matters. All of that deserves to be talked about. Not at issue here. All Scarborough wants to say is that this is an example. And that part I actually agree with. I do think that more people will stop coming to our country illegally if they believe that there will be a ramification for that behavior, something that I think, I simply believe, is the point. It's the whole point. It's that you want there to be a deterrent that causes people to not break the law. This topic was also discussed on CNN, and one of the probably best voices on said CNN, Scott Jennings, had a pretty simple reaction to the debate about this. Here's his way of talking to liberals, to people that are saying this is horrible and about to be, you know, happening to you, by saying that that's ridiculous.
That's not fair. And it can happen to anybody. So, and if we don't stop it now, right, the scope will get bigger, and then it will happen to you, and then you'll have a problem with it.
I think also you're conflating legal American citizens, yeah, with people who came here illegally. We do this all the time in these debates.
We do.
And I think what the administration is trying to do is be as aggressive as possible at deporting different kinds of populations. One, people who've committed heinous, violent crimes. Number two, people that were violent before they came here. Number three, anyone who came here illegally. I mean, look, I'm sorry, but if you came here illegally, no matter how well-intentioned you were, there's probably a decent chance you're going to be sent back. And that's what the administration clearly communicated to the American people in the election. They overwhelmingly voted for it, and it's not particularly a controversial matter.
It's not a controversial matter. That is absolutely true. Most Americans agree that if you came here illegally, you shouldn't get to stay just because. That's not something that should happen. I am a proponent for changing some ways that people legally get into our country. I say that even though I know people disagree with it, I think there are valuable ways to discuss how to change that process. But before you do that, you can't do that after you've already allowed something to be broken, like the Biden administration did with the amount of people just crossing into our country illegally. You have to actually fix the problem first before you can then address any other issues. That also matters. Completely void from this conversation, though. But once again, the person at the heart of the discussion is someone who allegedly is tied to one of the most violent, notorious gangs that we have here in our country. They are not actually, you know, proven in a court of law to be someone who has acted in any of those ways, and they deny it. That all matters. But whether or not we can get to the heart of the answer to that question and the person, the informant who told the government that this individual was part of MS-13, all of that has to get to the light of day before we have an intelligent conversation about this, because I don't think a lot of Americans will care if someone that was sent out of our country is someone that has also, been involved in a lot of horrible criminal activity, either before or after getting here. That's not a thing that I think people would beg for us to do differently if that winds up being the case. And by the way, all that stuff would make you able to be deported in the first place, too. But anyway, I digress. It does matter. The Supreme Court had to have a ruling on this to suspend a midnight deadline that would have caused the United States to at least try to bring this person back from prison in El Salvador, something that's not simply easy. All right, there's one other piece of audio I really want to play. I found this very interesting. This is a Democratic politician talking about DOGE and making a comparison that made a whole lot of people say, what now? When he said this part out loud.
But the problem I have with this hearing is, this is an important argument. But it pales in comparison to what's going on right now with Americans' privacy, with Americans' national security. We're talking about whether there should be a warrant to search a certain amount of information lawfully collected from foreigners. It's not a broad set of information. And yet, some non-government employee, Elon Musk, is getting access to every single American's personal identification information.
Horrible.
His employees, some of whom have been, who have already been found to have stolen information from one company to bring to another competitor, are getting access to Americans' personal identification information, whether it be through the Social Security Administration, it be through
something that a lot of other government officials already have,
the Department of Treasury. So it feels like this hearing, while important, is somewhat misguided at this time when the privacy considerations of every American is at risk, rather than a very narrowly tailored set of Americans who are communicating with foreigners who are suspected or potentially suspected of being involved in.
Okay, I'm good. He's essentially saying the Fed is doing warrantless surveillance of Americans, and that's okay. That's fine because it pales in comparison, his own words, to the importance of DOGE and what they're doing. To figure out whether or not people should be getting, say, retirement benefits if they're not alive anymore. That seems like a thing to actually look into a little bit. I love the non-elected thing with Elon Musk. I love how often people say that about DOGE and about him, because there's a whole bunch of politicians or people in politics that weren't elected by us. Whether or not we have Congress vote on them is not the same thing as us as a group actually deciding to put people in positions of power or take them out of said positions of power. That's all the Washington stuff that happens behind closed doors. That is another thing that Americans voted against that we'd like to see stop happening. And Elon Musk seems to be at the heart of it. The one thing I've said to friends of mine or people who might disagree with some of this stuff, I'm not sure that I'd call them all friends, but people that I have conversations with about this sort of thing. The one thing I've said to them is you need people to be outside of this system to actually fix it. You can't have just Washington insiders. You can't have people put in positions that they expected to be put in who had years and years of, working their way up, whatever organization it is or whatever bureaucratic part of our government exists. and then believe that they're actually going to turn on their friends. Because in order to climb those horrible ladders in that terrible place of Washington, D.C., you need to make a lot of deals and make a lot of friends and a lot of people that you can't hurt or that you owe or that have some dirt on you that are going to turn over against you if you do anything to harm them. Actually, we're seeing this play out, I believe, in a different way. So right now, because of the tariffs, one other thing I'll say about it, and we're going to get to a guest in about 20 minutes or so that's going to dive into it a little bit deeper with us. You have four or five Republican senators partnering with Democratic senators in trying to reduce the ability for Trump to impose tariffs, for any president to impose tariffs. They want to make this something that Congress has to vote on. The reason that Trump is going to fight this or would even veto it if it actually came to his desk as a bill that got passed somehow is because it allows for all of those people who owe somebody else to be the person that's protecting, say, this foreign government or that foreign government, the Bob Menendezes of the world, the senator who got caught with gold bars in his house from another country. These individuals are the ones who can try to protect your buddy over here or your, you know, valuable relationship over there by forcing the bureaucratic process to be too convoluted for us to do something that actually causes, you know, an eventual benefit, an action that's taken that makes someone actually play ball that believes they don't have to. And this is so very well demonstrated in Dan Goldman's point about how he sees warrantless surveillance of Americans by the Fed as not something that pales in comparison to anything that DOGE might do. It's just insane. We're allowed to commit sins. You're not to, is essentially the message from government every day. And these bureaucratic, individuals that we're trying to get fired from all kinds of jobs by putting, well, Trump in office and then Trump putting Elon in charge of an organization that wants to rid the government of waste, fraud, and abuse. Something that Democrats usually agree with. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Preborn is a great organization that provides ultrasounds for women who are right at a very important crossroads in their lives. They are determining whether or not they're going to have their baby, if they're going to become a mother, if they're going to bring this life to fruition within them. And Preborn, they go out and they meet mothers where they are. In fact, they open, they operate in a lot of these areas that have the highest abortion rates actually in the nation, and ultrasound save lives. They've done a lot of studies on this. So they meet women where they are. They allow women the opportunity to hear their baby's heartbeat. And when that happens, studies have shown that a baby's chance of life doubles. And they don't just stop there. They continue partnering with women. When women are choosing life, they partner with women for the first 2 years of their lives. And they not only provide life-saving ultrasounds, but they also work with diapers and all kinds of stuff to make sure that these women get the best start and their babies the best start at life. They have a passion for saving unborn babies from abortion. And they have a 4-star charity rating. You can give with confidence. All gifts to Preborn are tax deductible. $28, just $28 pays for an ultrasound. $140 can rescue 5 babies. And if you have the means, please consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way. You can give at preborn.com/Dana. A $5,000 leadership gift sponsors Preborn's network for 24 hours, rescuing 200 babies. Donate by dialing #250 or # if you're a Gen Zer, and say the word baby or give securely at preborn.com/Dana. That's #250 and say the word baby to help save lives.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. Time for the Quick Five. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. I saw a headline that I probably don't understand very well, but I'm just going to throw it out there. The moon is moving away from Earth and causing major changes in our time. This is according to a few different scientific places on the internet out there. Scientists are saying that gravity, as well as tidal forces and other things, are responsible for pushing the moon further away from our planet, and that won't be good in some ways. At least that's what they're saying right now. You know what I love about these stories? It demonstrates how little we actually understand and how many times surprising things happen that we don't at all expect, even as we claim to be able to understand and predict, everything. This could be climate change, whatever you want it to be. I just love it. The moon is moving further away from us, and that's maybe not good. Thank you for the headline, science. Another story out there that I saw that I thought was interesting. Elon Musk will be cracking down on parody accounts on X that do not admit that they're parodies. People that pretend to be real individuals or pretend to be, you know, government officials that are not them. This is different than allowing for parody accounts that are doing it for comedy's sake and announcing that they're a parody account. But Elon says that X is going to do away with some of these things because they're, you know, not part of the public good, or they're not taking part in the conversation that he wants to be, you know, the town square forum that X is. People are actually bashing this, which I found amazing too, because they say that Elon had the ability to do this before and he took apart all the parts of Twitter that were censoring people, both real and fake, instead trying to have it be a more focused thing. I really like that. And I think that it'll probably be better for Twitter if they do remove some accounts that do trick people into thinking they're real from time to time, something that does happen on the internet. Good luck to Elon. It's not going to be easy to do, but I do think it's interesting that people are somehow mad about this. One other quick five topic that I really thought was interesting. A woman on social media, an influencer, jumped into the water somewhere in the world and wound up getting stung by a jellyfish. I think this was outside Australia. One of the most venomous animals in the world, a box jellyfish. And she has all that up on her social media page. Got tons of clicks, tons of likes. Luckily, she's okay because there was a doctor and a nurse on board her boat that was, you know, traveling in this area. But she essentially said that she, is happy to be alive and also happy to be incredibly virally popular, which begs the question, are other people going to do this on purpose? I hope the answer is no. I pray the answer is no. Part of me already knows it's not going to be no. But this woman survived and then left her bad moment all over the internet for all of us to see. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. EJ Antoni of the Heritage Foundation next on The Dana Show. Craig Collins filling in.
Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Goldco. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Follow Dana, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, all over the place. We're going to dive into tariffs, something I've talked about a little bit throughout the show so far. But we're going to bring in an expert. Dr. EJ Antoni is an economist with the Heritage Foundation. Welcome to the show, Dr. Antoni.
Greg, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
No problem. Thrilled to have you on. So the first thing I want to talk about simply is tariffs, the end result or the intention of those for President Trump, what we've seen so far in the last few days. There was no Black Monday. So at least that's a good sign. What are you seeing as far as the tariffs, the intention of them, all of that? Please give me all of your insight.
Well, first off, we got to say the reason there was no Black Monday is because Jim Cramer said there would be one and everything he says is wrong. So
true.
There you go.
Yes.
The market was basically flat on the day. And, you know, we had a big jump today. It's most of that rally has gone away. But whatever the case, you know, why have markets been in more or less in free fall, though? In all seriousness, Craig, the reason for that is essentially because we thought we were going to get reciprocal tariffs from the White House. In other words, they told us they were basically going to be holding up a mirror that showed other countries what they were doing to us. If other countries were blocking our access to their consumer markets, then that's what we were going to do to them. And it was all supposed to be in an effort to force those other countries to reduce their barriers to trade. That's good for our exporters. It's good for American employees, et cetera. And instead, what we got were these tariff rates that don't really have anything to do with trade barriers, unfortunately. And so because markets now have no idea how the goalposts are going to be moved from here, people have a great deal of uncertainty, and markets hate uncertainty. A lot of people, in fact, are pricing in a recession at this point.
Yeah. Are you seeing, though, with a lot of the announcements today and yesterday of countries that are willing to negotiate better trade deals with the United States because of the threat of tariffs, a chance? And I think the stock market yesterday and today sort of rebounded under this assumption that the tariffs will be used as a negotiation tool and will not be a long lasting punishment, say, from the United States to both our friends and our enemies in the world of trade. Are you seeing any of that play out?
We are seeing an increasing probability of that being priced in, Craig. You're absolutely right. We're hoping that the original plan is what they're going to follow through on. In other words, this is all supposed to force other countries, to come to the negotiating table so that we can get them to drop their tariff, to drop their non-tariff barriers. It includes things like getting them to stop currency manipulation, et cetera. So all of these things are supposed to give us more free trade, not less. And that's great for everybody. It's great for Main Street, Wall Street, and everyone in between.
Well, when you look at the trade deficit, which I know in most simplistic terms is just the amount that we import versus the amount that we export from places, although, as you pointed out, there's a lot of reasons that could happen. We have significant deficits with a whole lot of these countries. China, of course, the highest among them, $270 billion. Part of what I understood the tariffs to be was sort of a reflection of what our trade deficit is, more so than just those simplistic barriers to trading itself. I'm sure that you as an economist would see it much differently than that. But that was what I understood part of the inspiration for this was. And the goal is to get to a place where, say, we're exporting more to all of these countries that, like China, are doing so much of the job taking and not a lot of the, job creating for us here.
No, that's a great point. And that's actually exactly how they came up with these figures. They did not look at the tariff and non-tariff barriers that other countries are imposing. All they looked at, in fact, was that balance of trade, the imports versus the exports. And so the problem with doing that, though, there's a couple issues with it. Number one, they didn't even consider services. They're only looking at products. So, maybe there's a country where we buy a lot of shoes from them, but then we sell them financial services. In fact, we sell them in financial services much more than we buy from them in shoes. And so overall, that's actually a net surplus in terms of trade. The problem with this tariff schedule is that for those types of countries, we actually just applied a punitively high tariff rate. So it's unclear in a lot of ways, Craig, how these tariff rates are going to accomplish any of the goals the White House has laid out, whether it's reciprocity or even balancing trade.
Sure. Absolutely. I understand what you're saying. I have one other question for you, and this is a sort of outside the box way of asking this. And I know that it's sort of a hallmark of a President Trump and also how a lot of the left will describe and talk about him. When you take action, as opposed to threatening to take action you never take, like the Biden administration did on a wide variety of issues, does it cause people to show up in a very different way, negotiate very differently, and cause the United States to get the best possible deals we could get, say, a few months from now? Could all of this, in the long run, be something that even someone like you, an expert in this field, look back at and say, you know what? Whether he did it on purpose or by accident, it worked because of X, Y, and Z. Is there a potential for that, the broad-ranging tariffs, to cause people to understand that Trump is someone that takes far more action than most leaders do, and because of that, you're going to have to play ball with him more than you would anyone else?
Oh, Craig, I think that analysis of yours is spot on. That's exactly right. Because Trump is essentially such a loose cannon, everyone is afraid of him, and so they're much more willing to negotiate. That's exactly right. It's just like when he said to Mexico, the wall just got 10 feet taller. China said, "Oh yeah, if you're gonna put tariffs on us, we're gonna put tariffs on you." And what did Trump do? He said, "Fine, you just got another 50%, buddy." So, I mean, there is a huge advantage here to the way President Trump negotiates these things, and that's really positive. I just hope that they can get pro-growth items across the finish line. In other words, get the tax cuts done, get regulation cuts done, most of all, get the government spending cuts done, because all of those things are going to help grow the economy, grow jobs, increase wages, and that'll have very positive effects, which will offset any potential negative effects in the short run from the tariffs. So we got to do it all at once to make this really successful for Americans.
Absolutely. At Real EJ Antoni is where people can follow you on X on Twitter. And you've been putting out a lot of information today that I thought was very interesting about the amount of credit card debt or the ability for consumers to gain more, available debt in their own portfolios. So many ways in which you're sort of pointing to the U.S. economy as not being as strong as we want it to be. Is now a terrible time to be waging a trade war with China, or are they in a weaker position than us in all of this tariff stuff going on? Is your assessment that the United States should be putting some of this off because of our own vulnerability, or, you know, essentially, is everyone going to blink first?
Well, I think this is part of the gamble the president is taking, right? When it comes to China specifically, you know, they are, I think, in a weaker position. We are the debtor nation in terms of trade here. That actually is a strength, believe it or not, not a weakness. So there's that. China is also already in recession. We may be heading towards one, but we're probably not there yet. On top of that, the Chinese central bank, basically their version of the Federal Reserve, is rushing to devalue their currency in order to help offset a lot of the effects of these tariffs. Now, that may be positive for them in the short run, but in the long run, it's going to cause runaway inflation like we had here for 4 years. So, you know, again, Trump definitely has a strong negotiating hand here. The issue is that he is not just negotiating with China. He just declared basically war on everyone at once. So, again, part of the gamble here is banking on a lot of countries coming to the table early. And fortunately for us, it looks like they're already doing that, with Japan probably first among them.
Yeah, Japan and Israel are two of the very first countries to be willing to, it sounds like, find, common ground very quickly. And Israel, a kind of surprise country for Trump to be as strong against as he was, at least in the tariffs. One last thing for you, and it's beyond the tariff conversation and international trade. It's really about the economy here at home. The jobs report numbers were pretty good, much better than expected. But there are these signs that our economy is in a not so great place, I think. Signs like you're pointing out the consumer credit decline on your, you know, Twitter page earlier today, et cetera. So for you, in the long run, beyond the tariff, what are some of the other things that are risks for the U.S. economy and ways for us to avoid any sort of, you know, damage beyond just the tariff issues?
Well, debt is probably the biggest problem, Craig. You know, we have not only massive government debt, but we have massive consumer debt. And basically, you know, we can look at what a lot of families have had to do, because the same rationale applies to the federal level. A lot of families, to cope with the high cost of living, have racked up tons and tons of credit card debt, well over $1 trillion in aggregate. And so now it's costing us about $300 service that debt. In other words, that's what you're paying each year in finance charges on credit cards before you can even put a dime towards principal. The same thing is happening with the national debt. The federal government is so deeply in debt, over $36 trillion, that we're spending about $1.2 trillion just to service it. Again, that's just the interest expense.
We might have lost EJ Antoni there. Are you still there? Go ahead. Say that one more time. We lost your phone. Yes, go ahead.
So we basically have to get the government spending down in order to get the deficit down and ultimately start attacking the debt, because eventually the interest expense is just going to bury us. So that's really, really key, you know, in this whole conversation here. And if you can get that government spending down, Craig, you're also going to reduce inflation. And now families don't need to spend as much, and families have more money to pay down their credit card debt. So, again, we got to get these spending levels down. It's a key part of the pro-growth agenda.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. EJ Antoni with the Heritage Foundation, giving us a little bit more information on everything going on in the world of tariffs. You did that better than I could, bud. I have no idea somehow how this stuff works, and you helped us out.
Craig, thanks for having me.
Sure, no problem. We'll take a quick break. A lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Get rid of pain and start living better. Give Relief Factor a try. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com.
Pastor Alan Jackson encourages Christians to get tough and fight.
The military had been turned into a social experiment. Apparently, they've been looting the coffers in Washington for a long time of hundreds of billions of dollars, terminating the lives of our children. I mean, we all know the litany of things that are happening. It feels like it's going to take a determination from the people of faith if we're going to see this walked back to the place it needs to be for the sake of our children.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. This is the Dana Show, and it is time for Florida Man. My name is Craig Collins filling in. I have a few of them today. The first one, a Florida guy who could not get an interview at a company. He couldn't get them to call him back, nothing like that. So what does he decide to do? He throws bottles of pee at workers and also at the business itself. Which apparently his plan was to get an interview by attacking people with something disgusting. That gets you arrested. That gets you a whole lot of things in Florida and probably also hurts your ability to have another employer in the future interview you because of the threat of a pee attack happening again. But Florida man threw bottles of his own urine at people. That's a real thing that happened. You know what I love about the Florida stories, by the way, is just the sort of eclecticness of them. You got this guy over here attacking people with bottles of disgusting things. You also have a bunch of cows that got loose in part of rural Florida. 13 cows just wandering around the highway there in Martin County. A sheriff said they were looking for who owns the cows. Someone is unsure as to who actually is in charge of these bovine, and we need you to pick them up because they're causing traffic issues. But 13 cows just wandering around is a real story. Also out of Florida. Again, I love how unique this place is. A group of teens in Florida were arrested for attacking a mall Easter bunny. This is a real story. I think Wink News and other places put this out there. A group of teenagers was accused of doing this in Naples, Florida, because they thought it would be funny. A 14-year-old boy was cited and two other 13-year-old boys arrested for battery. What I don't get over, and what maybe you don't get over too, is the age of the people. And how much social media has turned a lot of people into idiots and morons and jerks. And this would probably be the case here, but they thought it was funny to attack an Easter bunny at a mall at Coastland Center. And they got in trouble for that because good. Hopefully that's the sort of thing that happens a lot more. More Florida man stories. I thought this was interesting. A Florida man was run over by a vehicle while sunbathing at a beach. This is not the kind of thing you expect to happen, say, when you go to the beach. The man is supposed to be in, stable condition at the ICU. So hopefully he's going to be okay. But the guy, 33 years old, was just sitting and minding his own business when a vehicle driven by a 61-year-old woman accidentally drove over him. She was driving a Jeep, which was outside the designated travel lines. Of course it was in the area. There's even a photo of the guy in the ICU sort of, you know, trying to look at the camera and be okay, which I think he told all the people on social media was what was going on there. But it's crazy. And even the quote, I just got a Jeep a couple weeks ago, and this was something I wanted to do. I said the person who was driving it, all of a sudden, a tire was going over my head, says the guy who got hit with the vehicle. And he said that he was just laying there face first, crying and screaming. That's got to be a surreal moment to be on a beach and have a Jeep drive over you and then also feel as though that's somehow unique to Florida. which I don't know if it is. I hope it is. That's horrible. One last Florida man story. I thought this one was also interesting, certainly bad. A Florida man was arrested because he was making written threats to kill President Trump. This is something that's illegal, something that you're not allowed to do. He was putting them up on social media and other places. This is obviously a crime. My favorite part of this story, if I have a favorite part of a story this dark, is the dude's mugshot. Because if you look up this guy, Glenn Del Cicco, he looks like the kind of guy that would be putting these sort of things up on social media and then arrested for them. He looks almost perfectly so, with disheveled hair and everything. Just a complete piece of crap individual out there. Thank you to the Jupiter Police Department was a message tweeted out by a couple different politicians in Florida, and their seriousness was with which they took the threat of someone saying they were going to harm the president. What I think is also really interesting about this story is when the guy got arrested, he behaved as though he didn't know this was illegal. He thought he could just say that on social media. He didn't mean it, of course. That's the claim you make now. I wasn't being serious. I was just putting it out there and hoping that everybody just ignored it or whatever. But honestly, threatening and saying you're going to kill somebody, especially the president, usually not a good move. So again, the eclecticness of the Florida man story, to go from people that are throwing bottles of urine, people that are getting hit by Jeeps on the beach, to also people that are just looking for their cows. What happened to their cows? And also the Easter Bunny. I feel uniquely bad for that individual who's in that costume. I've never had to wear a costume for any sort of job I had, but I did work at places where somebody else was put into the mascot costume. I know this for a fact. No one wants to be in there. No one who's in those things wants to be wearing them, wants to be in public in said outfit. They don't want to do it. They might choose to do it for the money, but they don't want to. So the last thing we should do is beat them up. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Super Beats. You guys are very familiar with Super Beats, and you're familiar with the chews, but there's also the Super Barine product, which they came out with last year. And the Super Barine, again, same people who make the Super Beats heart chews and the Super Beats powder. The Super Barine helps to support healthy metabolism and blood sugar. And you can use Super Barine. In fact, they have a coupon now, $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. So it's just $24.98. It's plant-based. It's doctor-formulated. It has a unique form of berberine and Italian fruit extract. So you get additional antioxidant and cardiovascular support. And it has a nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. And grapeseed extract is used for greater tolerability. So visit Sam's Club and restock your heart health support with Super Beats Heart Chews and expand your routine with the Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. Super Barine is $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. Snag this offer at Sam's Club while it lasts. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter to stay connected to all things Dana. One of several ways to do that. You can also watch her on YouTube. All over the place, Dana Lash. The Supreme Court is siding with Trump again. There's two different rulings over the last 24 hours or so that have both caused a pause out of some sort of order that was given for the Trump administration to do something they didn't want to do. One of those was to bring back someone from El Salvador that was recently deported that the government believes is connected to MS-13, a horrific gang. And MS-13, they actually believe him to be the leader of MS-13 in Long Beach in New York. All of this matters. The biggest reason it matters is because most of mainstream media is forgetting that part of the narrative on purpose. They're not forgetting it because they don't know it. They're just willingly removing it. And I will say, and I don't know how to say this any differently than how I'm about to state it, but I will just simply put it out there, that so very often, those people in newsrooms throughout the country who think they're doing a greater good, they get up on this soapbox of believing that they're you know, morally right and helping society not harm itself by believing things that it shouldn't believe. When they censor stories, when they keep information from you, like that trans shooter who had a manifesto where they mentioned that they wanted to kill all the white kids at the school that they went to, Those are things that mainstream media leaves out of discussions because a lot of people in those newsrooms, again, convince themselves they're protecting society. This means that they're protecting more radical people from becoming even worse versions of themselves because they know the truth. What I'll say about that, just real quick, is that hiding the truth will always make people feel more suspicious or more likely to react negatively than providing it to us, than expecting the American people to be intelligent enough to understand certain things. And this is all across the board. This might be the seriousness of a story where, you know, death is involved, to the ridiculousness of some of the stories about, say, government spending or tariffs or any of that other stuff. And I know it sounds insane to compare the two, but I can't help it. There's so much choosing what to tell us and what not to tell us in these stories to fit their narrative. And then they're either doing this because they're on the take, which probably a lot of us believe to be true, or they've convinced themselves that they're doing it for some sort of high and mighty reason that is bullcrap. That's full of, you know, all the things I can't say on the radio. But this story about the person who was deported is wholeheartedly connected to that idea. They are currently in a prison in El Salvador. Our own justice system was trying to force the Trump administration to bring someone back who probably committed crimes in another country, which is why they're immediately in jail there, outside of just being someone who was at least illegally entered our country and then potentially has been tied to terrible organizations. But more so than that, they also want to convince you that this will now just happen to anybody. Anybody out there in the world walking the street at night might be picked up and sent to a prison in El Salvador, and that's insane. The other story involving the Supreme Court and decision they made is now preventing, at least in the short term, the need to rehire 16,000 probationary workers for the government that Doge and Trump, President Trump decided, we don't need these people. They can be fired. They cannot have jobs anymore. Cleaning up government waste, fraud, and abuse turns into an emotional, you know, narrative about someone who is out of work now that desperately needed the job, et cetera, et cetera. And they leave out the part where they're not even really doing anything that benefits us, as most government jobs seem to be, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse more so than necessary for our country and for our society. But I digress. Those two stories are kind of bigger out there. And of course, the narrative is that the Supreme Court is overwhelmingly conservative, that Trump has stacked the court and convinced them to behave a certain way. Again, within that story is some of the admissions of people who are going against the conservative party. Amy Comey Barrett has voted with the Democrats on a couple of these issues. That part doesn't matter. All that matters is that the issues are aligned with Trump's administration, and this is somehow bad for the world we live in, even if they're also both like punting. Both these decisions are not going to have immediate, changes, but they're not necessarily going to prevent something long term from going the way that, say, Democrats or mainstream media want these stories to go. But we will see. Another big thing out there in the world of tariffs that I thought was interesting, and I have some audio I'm going to play in just a second about something else, too. There's a long deep dive article on Axios.com about the House Democrat who loves them. Loves Trump's tariffs. He's a Democrat in Maine. Jared Golden is his name. He actually is, the representative of a fairly conservative part of the country, which is probably why he's such a big proponent of the tariffs, as are actually most Americans. If you look at any poll recently, people are saying that they'd like to see the world treat America better and thus more money get funneled into our country long term by having better trade deals or the opportunity to, say, export more product out of certain places that have silly red tape that prevents us from being competitive in those places. But I just thought this was really interesting. The Axios deep dive talks all about how this one politician believes we should have a blanket 10% tariff on all products that are imported into the U.S. because we'd like to make the U.S. stronger. Is that something that will realistically be an outcome of the trade war? I don't know. Will a lot of American companies start to invest in creating more of their products here, in creating more jobs to manufacture said products here? I don't know. There's some debate as to whether or not that'll occur. But attempting these sort of things seems better than just continuing with the status quo. If the status quo isn't going well for a lot of Americans, and it's not, There's a lot of signs that many people say that used to be middle class are now significantly struggling. But I just thought it was interesting. A deep dive into the one Democrat who's going against the grain when it comes to tariffs and actually calling for Trump to keep them going and not, you know, back down no matter what happens in some of these trade deals, something that I also think is actually fairly unlikely. I think that the whole intention of all this is to get better trade deals and eventually relent on some of this stuff. All right, let's play something else. This audio I found really interesting yesterday. This is Fox News talking about the equity speed cameras that exist now in California. You feel like this is written by The Onion or the Babylon Bee, and it can't possibly be real, but it's real. Here we go.
Speed safety pilot program backed by Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom, where how much you pay for a speeding ticket depends on who you are. And it's all in the name of equity. On its website, the City Transportation Authority goes out of its way to explain that speed safety cameras will be dispersed across San Francisco in a, quote, equitable fashion. But not everyone will have to pay the same if they get a ticket. Get this. Low-income offenders qualify for steep fine discounts, guys, up to half off. And if you're homeless but speeding in your vehicle, you can get up to 80% discount. Jerry, here's just one of the many.
I do love the way people are laughing to the idea that someone has a car that they're speeding around in, but they also don't have a house, because that's kind of hard for us to understand, as a lot of people do. But some people in California live in their cars, I've been told. So maybe that's what they're talking about. But nonetheless, to have so much of the fine reduced and then to actually also have the fine essentially enhanced if you have money means that some people might face a fine as small as $5. And others might face a fine as high as $500 for the same speeding offense. This is insane. This is the kind of thing that has two actual real world, effects. The first real world effect is anyone that can get away with somehow qualifying for the, you know, small fine. Let's say that you're not actually homeless, but you're a college kid who's at home with mom and dad and you don't own that house. You might claim you don't have a house right now, that you're not, you know, living anywhere, so your fine can be $5, and that's insane. There's going to be ways to game the system, but they're also going to enhance the amount of people that just commit these horrible, you know, or well, in this case, hopefully not as dangerous of a crime as other things, but this is smash and grab all over again. This is every policy in California, where they say that the reason they're doing it is to make things more fair, make things more equitable, and then immediately these things are abused, because of course they're going to be. Because it's insane to tell people that you have to pay a different amount of fine based on how much money you make, as opposed to telling people you shouldn't speed or you should follow this law over here or over there. You shouldn't be breaking them in the first place. If you're someone who can't afford a $200 fine for something, you shouldn't make it likely in your life to hit said fine. You should do everything you can to prevent it, to avoid it. And I'm sure someone can use the extreme argument against what I just said of saying, what if it's an emergency? Well, if it's an emergency, you're probably not actually going to get in trouble. There's probably someone that you can prove that there was an emergency going on and you'll have the fine or the ticket thrown out. But nonetheless, all of this matters. All of this deserves to be part of a discussion that never exists when people only want to talk about what they perceive to be a political win or an emotional win or societal, like, look at what we're doing to make things fair. And then other people go, great. I bet you a bunch of people who support this idea don't live in California, don't live in San Francisco, and will never have any impact on this actual law itself. But they see it and they believe that it means that they're part of the good guys, the team that's doing all the right things in society, even if it winds up damaging society much more than helping it, which we've seen this movie time and again. It's just so insane. And to hear people talk about it and laugh about it too, the last thing I'll say about that is that I know somewhere in the, you know, darker reaches of the internet, or not even that dark, if you go on Twitter, you can find some of this, of people being up in arms, upset that people would find this funny or ridiculous or somehow, you know, insane. What I think about that is individuals who, and I think the best way to put it is a way that Dave Chappelle put it on Saturday Night Live, can't see beyond their own pain, whatever that might be. I think he made a joke about poor people and how angry they got at some people that were not as, you know, financially challenged in our world, being mad about weird things. It's weird to recap a Dave Chappelle joke in this fashion. But essentially, he said, with some level of seriousness, but mostly his comedy, that people can't see beyond their own even envisioned, not real pain, but their imagined pain in our society. And that seems to absolutely be true. And the amount of people who'd cheer on these kinds of things and think that they're great until they get a ticket for $500 because they're well off, and then all of a sudden they're upset about it, is just through the roof. It's amazing to think about the amount of people who support something until it's at your door. One other good example of this, before I take a break, by the way, sanctuary cities, and how many of them regretted being sanctuary cities after people started being sent to that city that were supposed to be welcomed with open arms. But places like New York and Chicago didn't want to do that after they were called on their bluff. This is just another moment of that happening in the world and people laughing at it, and then other people being mad that you're hateful, even though you're anything but. You're just simply someone who's thinking rationally, which less and less people seem to do. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. Time for a Quick Five. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Heineken unveils a phone case that flips your phone over whenever it hears the word cheers. Apparently, they're very proud of this. That means it's spying on you all the time. But Heineken's case is a prototype that's designed to help you pay less attention to your phone and more attention to people when you're out socializing. They put up some videos showing the case actually doing this. Essentially, a little piece comes out of the phone and flips it over. So now it's on its face and you can't see it anymore instead of being pointed toward you. And this is supposed to help you drink more and enjoy life more, which is fine by me. That's totally fine. I love the fact that this also isn't really that hard to defeat. If you want your phone, you can just pick it up and look at it after it's been flipped over by your phone case. Again, that is listening to you all the time. That's probably going to be a negative for some people. But darn it, for others, just fine. But Heineken, very proud of their new invention, if that's what you call it. A marathon runner is eyeing a record at the London Marathon. Not one that I think you'd necessarily be proud of if it was you. Michael Wiggins is trying to run the fastest marathon wearing a traffic cone costume that anyone has ever run wearing a traffic cone costume. This is actually in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's not exactly a short time. 3 hours and 22 minutes is what he's got to beat while wearing something that he definitely doesn't want to wear in public normally. So stupid. This is all over the news in some places, or at least all over social media. Good luck to the man who's going to set a record that only he will care about. And he'll talk about it bars in a way that'll make people pick up their phone that's just been flipped over by their case and look at it instead of paying attention to him. Because it's not a real record, man. You don't actually deserve any sort of applause for it. Darn it. Go ahead and enjoy setting something stupid. Sea lions are attacking people. This is off the coast of California. Some are saying this is because it's in the name, lions. But I guess others are saying that sea lions are often very playful and not usually ones to attack people. But because of the bad condition of the water there, of course, this turns into a climate thing or any sort of, you know, environmental thing. The sea lions are now angrier. So they're attacking us because they don't like the quality of the water they're swimming in, not because they're called sea lions. You decide which is true for you. I'll decide which is true for me. One last one, too. I do like this. A guy has gained a bunch of followers on social media for putting custom Crocs on New York City sculptures. This is a real story. This idiot is doing it. He was bragging about it on social media. I think I have a little bit of this audio to play. Go ahead.
Over the past 31 days, I've mischievously put Crocs on 11 different statues.
In doing that, I've gained nearly 200,000 followers.
I've been up for the past 30 hours, reprinting, resanding, and repainting
Why?
Every single Croc. This morning at 6 a.m., I went back to every single statue and put every single Croc back where it belongs.
Go to the statues right now and take a gibbet if you want. Please don't steal the Crocs, although I know some of you probably will.
A lot of people probably will. And also, 20,000 followers for putting Crocs on statues. The world is sad. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff to talk about today. Dana is back tomorrow. You can find her D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, one of many ways to stay connected to all things that she's up to. All right, let's play this. We have a few different takes in the world of racism in our country. Some of them coming from MSNBC talking heads, some of them coming from politicians. Jasmine Crockett, a politician, black woman, if it needs to be mentioned here for anyone that doesn't know. Talking to a Baptist church in Connecticut about how we need to have people illegally in this country to do all of the jobs on farms that we don't want to do for wages that are not fair to anyone, them, us, anybody involved. This is something we need. This is a Democratic narrative. They've said this often, unapologetically, that we need people to be here working illegally for wages below minimum wage. So that we don't have to do this stuff. That is part of her message. Let's go ahead and play it.
I had to go around the country and educate people about what immigrants do for this country or the fact that we are a country of immigrants.
Right.
The fact is, ain't none of y'all trying to go and farm right now. Okay, so I'm lying. Raise your...
Okay, I really love the fact that people in the church are looking around like, we'd probably do that. Is that job paying pretty good? Do we make money right now doing what we're doing? We wouldn't be against it. I love that she actually doesn't get the response she's expecting from the crowd.
And You're not. We done picking cotton. We are. You can't pay us enough to find a plantation.
It's weird to also inject race into this conversation. Not that it doesn't exist if you're talking about people coming here from other countries to pick our products for wages that they shouldn't be picking our products for, but also just in general to try to create a win with an audience that she's not exactly winning over with another part of her discussion there. Again, trying to scold them into convincing them they don't want jobs that she assumed they didn't want to begin with. But a couple other things that you can just say about this logic or lack thereof. One, there is a visa that exists for agricultural companies in the United States. It's an H-2A visa that allows you to bring in seasonal labor or temporary labor if you don't have enough to do whatever you need to do on a farm. So that actually exists. You can have people come here legally. Now, granted, you probably have to pay them at least minimum wage, since they'd have the legal status to be there and you can't force them into less money, which is something that Democrats seem to hate as an idea, as opposed to, you know, just not having people here illegally being the trade-off. I just think it's crazy. As woke as that party wants to be, that they kind of advocate willingly for taking advantage of people from other countries, that's a part of their narrative that they want to ignore. There's also this story and this viral video of just a woman, I think a couple million views already on social media at least, saying that she agrees with the death of Austin Metcalf. He was the high school student who was stabbed to death at a track meet by someone else after an argument about, you know, whether or not someone should be in a tent for, I think, like a team in a school. The kind of thing, let me just say this first. As someone that attended high school, as many of you probably listening do, and saw people fight at times where no one was harmed in a way that was deadly, this sort of thing happens at schools. It doesn't happen because of race. It doesn't happen because, well, I'm not saying blanket statement. I shouldn't say it that way. But by and large, there's times when young people conflict with each other that has nothing to do with anything other than both being young people and doing things that they shouldn't be doing and not having cooler heads prevail, not being more mature. Now, granted, what's rare about this instance is someone dying, someone choosing to use deadly force to stab someone else and kill them. And what's insane to me is that this conversation, for a lot of people trying to make a point very different than what the actual instance itself is about, are essentially advocating for this, saying that it's all right to kill somebody if you warn them in advance that if they touch you, you're going to stab them to death. And again, this is sort of just insane to say. This is why there's actual legal definitions of, defending yourself with deadly force. And it's not this. But let's go ahead and play some audio here of this woman who went viral, essentially saying that she's totally fine with what happened. She is a black woman, if it matters. I don't know why in our society we all care about that sort of stuff, although it's not surprising what she's advocating for, because she's injecting race into a conversation that may not have had race as a component of it.
Y'all not gonna make me believe or feel any kind of sympathy for Austin Metcalf at all. He put his hands on that young man when he should have kept them hands to himself. When the young man told him, touch me and see, you bet not touch me, that meant that I don't want you in my space. I don't want you touching me. Rosa Parks days is over. You cannot think that you can move somebody out of a seat that you don't own and think that it's going to be okay. And you can't determine how I'm going to retaliate on you when you put your hands on me in an aggressive manner.
Yes, you can actually determine that sort of thing. And you don't know how aggressive the manner even was. You don't even know all the details of this story, as you're saying that Austin Metcalf did something he may not have actually done in the first place. What's also crazy about this, and I'll say this as a person of faith myself, is that Austin Metcalf's father has gone out there a couple times now and done interviews in which he actually seems to feel somewhat sorry for the person that took his son's life. Not because, of course, it's in any way, shape, or form helping him with any pain he has, but as someone of faith, he believes that the person who used deadly force made a, I wouldn't use this word, I think he did, mistake in life, that he will come to regret. And of course, he'll come to regret it, as the person who took someone else's life is likely to go to jail for this, hopefully, if the justice system works the way it's supposed to work. But what's really interesting about that, and some people who are attacking the father for what he's saying, is I remember, and I'm not saying everyone has to live up to the standard. I wouldn't. I'll live up to the standard. But I remember when Pope John Paul II was almost killed and then forgave the guy who tried to kill him in prison while he was locked in there, as sort of a demonstration of what people want us to aspire to be. And the reason I mention this is not to preach to you or to preach to anyone about what you should or shouldn't do if someone took the life of your child. I can't fathom being anything other than enraged and wanting to, find a way to have justice served to the person who hurt my loved one. But what I will say is that if you're an individual who believes this, like Austin Metcalf's father does, I don't think you could capably raise someone to be the type of person that some in far left parts of media are claiming Austin is, to deserve the harm that he took and the death that occurred, him being killed in this interaction. If you're someone that's this grounded in your own faith, I think you raise your children to be a reflection of yourself in that way. And oftentimes you succeed to some extent. So I cannot believe with any fiber of my being that any of the horrific and completely debunked narratives about an individual could even be close to true. And it seems to be playing itself out in front of us, demonstration in front of us, and it's also being ignored. Most people who are up in arms and angry about this story are ignoring the way in which the family is trying to react to it, with having some level of, I don't know what it is, but something in there that's based on their faith, that's trying to believe that, there's some sort of reason that things happen in the world, whatever it might be, or whatever resolutions they come to. If it's just coping with the grief, I'm not sure. Again, I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. I'm not trying to preach to the radio audience here. I just think it's amazing that that part is so missing in this narrative too. And then one last one, and I might not even play the audio of this one just because it's so stupid, but an MSNBC talking head very recently on television yesterday claimed the reason we're dealing with tariff stuff that he doesn't like or anything else that he doesn't like. You know what? Fine. I'll play the audio. I kind of don't want to, but I'll just go ahead and play it because I don't want anyone to think I'm hiding it. because I don't think I can combat it. But here is part of a person claiming that the reason we're in a situation that they don't like as far as policy goes is because America has to be racist.
Have to grapple with it because it's the snake. It's the beast coiled up in the heart, the bosom of the country, as Frederick Douglass said. And the fact that they are doubling down on this shows you what kind of human beings they actually are.
Say more.
I'm sorry. I also love that part of this. Say more. Keep going down this rabbit hole of how horrible society is and how racist we all have to be.
We chose a felon who is more interested in loyalty, who's more interested in retribution, who's more interested in grift than in democracy. And we chose a felon because we didn't want to elect a black woman.
This is insane. This is so insane, in fact, because very simply, as a response to this from the MSNBC talking head that said it, the reason that Kamala Harris didn't win the election is that she was a bad candidate. It had nothing to do with the way she looked. It had everything to do with what she said or the circular conversation she brought us on all the time that made no sense. And I said this before in the show, and I'll say it again. One of the craziest things not mentioned in this rant is that most Democrats believe Michelle Obama would have won the presidency had she run, had she not resisted, all of the calls to be the candidate as Biden is stepping aside or even before that. So many people in political circles, not necessarily on one side, but in general, also believe that Michelle Obama would have put up a much better fight against Donald Trump than Kamala Harris did. And what's that one thing that Eddie from MSNBC is not going to mention? Oh, yeah, it's that Michelle Obama is a black woman. And that her husband, a black man, was elected president twice in this country. Maybe it's not race. I am also not saying that I think Michelle Obama would have deserved to win an election against Donald Trump. And I think a whole lot of conservative voters would have had many reasons to vote for Trump and not Obama. And it would have nothing to do with race. Again, it would have everything to do with policies and all the things we didn't like about Obama's time in office and the decisions he made. But it's just insane to try to couch any of these disagreements in society on one side having to be hateful and evil and terrible in whatever way you need them to be hateful and evil and terrible, because you won't accept the fact that they voted for someone that they thought would make the economy better. And even as the tariff stuff is going on right now, if 6 months from now, we're in a world where we have better trade deals with most of the countries that have taken advantage of us for a long time, and we're exporting more product to more places, and we're doing better on a whole, I wonder if people will still have the same narrative of the tariffs are terrible for us if they work, if they allow for negotiation to cause us to go a different direction than we've gone before. We have to see. I've cautioned that before when I've been on the radio at other times. You have to wait for something to fully play out before you know for sure what the end result of it is. We have a lot of people that are experts right now that are immediate and not waiting any amount of time to see what the end result of all this will be. But if 6 months from now we get the kind of economy that Trump said he would bring in to our society, I wonder if anyone will give him an attaboy for that if it happens. I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying that you got to wait and see what could be around the corner. All right, quick break, a little bit more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Amen. This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find Dana all over the place. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, two of the best ways to stay connected on X, on Twitter. You can find her on YouTube, on Rumble, on pretty much everything, like I said, also on television. Let's do this. A few little quick stories that essentially didn't make the cut till right now. One of them, Dolly Parton is partnering with a Kardashian for a pair of jeans. She is calling them Jolene's. I'm not going to bash Dolly Parton. That seems wrong. It seems un-American to do. I am going to, however, play the commercial they put together for the Jolene's that claim to make your butt look really good, which is probably important if you're the woman that's making another woman jealous from the Jolene song. Here we go.
I think you should dress the way you feel good. You need to find out who you are, and you need to do it on purpose. And you need to do it with purpose.
I do.
And when you apply that to style, you need to wear the clothes that's going to enhance your goodness, your friendliness, your personality, and all the things that you think you stand for.
And your butt.
So I just say, be you. Jolene, 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 Jolene. I'm a funny rascal, ain't I?
Yes, you are, ma'am. Yes,
you are. I got good jeans, too.
Thank you, Miss Dolly. You're definitely a funny rascal. Jolene's are going to be all the rage, mostly because of the name of them, not because there's anything new about them compared to other jeans. I imagine a lot of people will buy these, though, mostly just because they like Dolly Parton. And I do love what she says in the middle there about enhancing all these aspects of your personality, even though they also enhance your derriere. All right. Another thing that I liked, this was a survey of the amount of digital cleaning we might need to do, or digital spring cleaning we might need to do. The average person has 1,044 unread emails. Almost all of those are like promotional emails that get stuck in a different part of your mailbox now, your email mailbox. You also have 12 unread text messages, 17 unread social media notifications, 11 unread app messages, 15 browser tabs that are open that you should close, et cetera, et cetera. Close all of it. That's the advice. Just open and then close and forget about, or maybe even just delete it. Maybe go through the 1,044 emails since you haven't read them in some amount of time. Whatever information is in them has not harmed you. And maybe this is not the best advice, but it's the advice I'm going to go with. Just delete them. Just move on. Pretend it didn't happen. Assume the best and, be scared for the worst. But that seems like a good move because, darn it, we're also so tied to all of the things digital that we need to get away from, that at times I'd love to just throw my phone in a river, but then I'd get it out because it's waterproof and I need that phone pretty bad. But it would be great for us to go digital free for an amount of time. One last story that I like too. Does your job require a high tolerance of being yelled at? This was a question asked to people on Reddit. Some of the top answers involved customer service rep, teacher, a referee, but two on this list that I really thought were interesting: member of the military and cops. They get yelled at by people all the time, or members of the military might even be yelled at in basic training quite a bit, and they are expected to absolutely stay calm. And so when society sometimes turns on these people and treats them as though, you know, there's some unfair set of rules where we have to be hypercritical of them, it might be good to remember that these are people put in high-stress situations all the time that have to live up to something a lot of us wouldn't live up to. All right, that's it. That's the show. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.